notification to the district coalition. So there was a remote tangential connection to the Sumner Neighborhood Association through that district coalition. With that said, going back and relooking at the other intersections, the impacts, and how much of a percentage Colwood's trips would generate into those gets very messy, very complicated, very quickly. And I would argue there are a number of benefits for the Sumner Neighborhood Association with these improvements. Their primary access out of their neighborhood to the north is on Killingsworth. That roadway is very congested at a number of times during the day. We're moving the cars that are essentially stored on Killingsworth, as you may have noticed, and moving them onto ODOT right away as they enter the I-205 southbound ramp. That also frees up movements of Killingsworth traffic that is moving westward wanting to turn left as well. There's benefits to cyclists that are using Killingsworth that don't get restricted because vehicles are stuck in the middle of an intersection trying to get onto that ramp. So there are a number of benefits to the Sumner neighborhood by moving that traffic to a different location. And that on-ramp is actually on in a little bit of a bowl about 25 feet below the residences that are on the back side of the on-ramp.
And, yeah, I mean, I was listening to the concern here raised by the Sumner neighborhood, and I guess part of what I'm trying to take in here is that the applicant didn't propose a land use action in the Sumner neighborhood. The government, in the form of our review process, proposed a mitigation strategy in another neighborhood. So I would be wary of holding an applicant for any land use action accountable for what we've done, whether we've notified everybody or not. So appreciate your apology. Obviously, there's more work to be done if this project goes forward to actually design and construct those improvements. And there's an opportunity to make better in terms of engaging the actual affected neighborhood for all of the mitigated projects. But I think that would be a strange form of jeopardy to place a land use applicant in, whether they were the Trust for Public Lands or just Joe and Mary Jones with their piece of land. So anyway, as a point of reference for future situations like this, as this rule gets tried out, I think it's incumbent on us to maybe reach a little farther in our notice process going forward rather than expect the applicants to figure that out.
Yes, Mayor. However, this is a de novo hearing. Something was brought to our attention and to the staff's attention.
Yeah.
And this is a precedent-setting case because, as Kurt said, it's the first in the state. So I don't by any means fault the staff for not thinking about that. I didn't think about it either. The Sumner Neighborhood Association has brought it to our attention. I, as Parks Commissioner, am certainly not ready to get moving on this tomorrow. I do think we want to move with all speed, but I'm wondering, without going back to square one as to should we look at all the intersections in the neighborhood, if we did delay taking action on this application for, say, 2 or 3 weeks to give you time to go talk with Sumner to look at the options to see if there might be modifications or at least to have that courtesy of the this is the proposal, if there are other things that could be done to it, whether that would that would help bring this proposal to a conclusion that everybody could be happy with, because there's been so much work done on this project over the last 5 years, and we're so close to having everybody saying, this is terrific, let's move forward. I wonder if giving it an extra few weeks to go to Sumner and see how their concerns could be met either in this project or in looking at the transportation system plan improvements for other intersections, whether that might be worth taking a little bit more time before we vote on this.
Is there, and I appreciate Commissioner Fritz, your view on this, but it also, the challenge with that is that there's an awful lot of buildup to this hearing, and what we'd be doing is scheduling another hearing to review this matter.
We would be reviewing, sorry for interrupting.
Which we have historically been loath to do. Is there an alternative where we could craft some instructions or guidance to a process to follow, since nothing's happening tomorrow anyway, and not lose the momentum of acting on this today with some kind of more flexible finding or instruction?
Most of the testimony that we've heard today has not been on the approval criteria for this case. It's been about what happens next. So if we were to hold a second first reading with the specification it was just on the mitigation in Sumner, I don't think it would delay us that much. And as I said, I want to set the precedent that when we're doing these kinds of off-site mitigation in compliance with the transportation planning rule, that it's absolutely required to go talk to the other neighborhood.
The other thing that I feel a little handicapped about is that I don't know, on these kinds of complex transactions, I don't know whether there are timing issues around financing, closing, other kinds of things that are impacted, and I would be loath to put the app. We have virtually unanimous support for this, and the applicant is taking on a fair amount of risk and other things. I would hate to do something that throws them out of schedule and results in a cost, a lost opportunity, or something. I can't evaluate that because I don't know what the impact would be of.
Let me first ask Kurt, would that be feasible for you to be able to go talk with Sumner over the next couple of weeks?
Commissioner, I'm more than happy to have that conversation. I want to put a couple of points I think they're important into the record. Chair Somohano from Sumner contacted Commissioner Novick's office in June, and they asked that I make contact to Mr. Somohano. I made that contact the day he made contact with that office and talked to him through these concerns, and I was actually frankly surprised that his letter showed up in your offices and your emails because we had a very good conversation. I felt that his questions were answered. So when I hear that he reached out and didn't get his questions answered, I didn't get a follow-up phone call that conversation was unanswered. Secondly, and importantly, this project is identified in a number of transportation plans, airport futures. This project is going to come at some point. It's not on the state's regional transportation planning list because it's not funded right now. We have an applicant who's ready and willing to fund it. So I know there's a question of timing and fairness and the involvement with the Sumner Neighborhood Association, but the plans are in place that this improvement would come at some point in the future.
And was not generated by this application.
We realized that this list was, this project was out there, and that was what put it on for consideration in this review.
And presumably, if ODOT was doing it independent of this, they would have gone to the Neighborhood Association and said, we're going to do this, and what do you think?
I would assume ODOT would do that public outreach. That's correct.
So maybe we could ask the applicant to come back and give his view on whether a couple of weeks would make a difference to their planning.
Other questions for staff before we do that?
I guess I just want to say, normally we take the temperature of us on these kinds of things, and I just, given what I understand the history of the amount of work that's gone on to bringing it to this point, I'm just low, and I have great respect for my friends this summer, and of course mentioned that Amanda and I were there for the opening of the Helen's View Community Garden, but I am going to be very reluctant to postpone a decision on this over something that we can deal with in some other way, particularly if after hearing that there's been a prior communication and this is on a list for funding. And at no disrespect to community consultation process, but there's an awful lot of momentum reading that's behind today's action. And I think I just would caution us about making the applicant, the owner, and the parties jump through any more hoops.
And I guess I'm also wondering, I'd like to pose this as a question both to staff and then maybe to Mr. Goldberg if we're getting back up. We have two actions before us. One is the zone change. Is to consider and either approve or reject the hearings officer's recommendation. Second is the ordinance that actually makes the changes. The conditions are all attached to the first item. Is that correct? Where are the conditions that were under discussion? Catherine is looking to figure that out.
Yes. The revisions are attached to the ordinance.
They're attached to the ordinance,
yes.
Not to the approval of the hearings officer's report as amended, which is the action before the council today, right? There's one vote we can take today if we so choose. The other vote comes back for second reading regardless of what we do today. Item 922, am I reading this correctly?
I think typically with these zone change and comprehensive plan amendments, the findings report and the ordinance travel together, so we have the council adopt both of them at
decision.
The same time.
Right.
And we would set that out about a...
So when you set the ordinance for second reading, you would also continue the findings report, and you would adopt both on the same date.
Well, in that case, could we do both? Can
yes.
we can we act today, set this in the normal, ordinary course we'd set it out, you would tell us how much time you think you need, but presumably it'd be 3 or 4 weeks. And in the interim, have a consultation process occur. If there's something that we learn through that that causes us to revisit that, we would have the chance when it comes back to council, but we would maintain the momentum on this in the interim.
So we would be making a tentative approval today, but not approving all of the findings?
That's not unusual in a land use case. Right.
Catherine, are the findings and would be what we'd be voting on?
Well, I guess my point was that typically you would not vote to adopt the findings or the hearings officer's recommendation until the date that you vote to pass the ordinance.
So we'd be doing tentative with an ordinance with a hearing and a vote to follow.
Well, with a vote to follow.
With a vote on both the findings and the ordinance to follow.
Okay.
If in the interim you staff had, as a result of discussions, had something new to suggest to you, you could here just reopen the record just for that bit.
What I'm concerned about is the findings that Mr. Sanger brought up regarding policy 3.5 and neighborhood notification, which is one of the comprehensive plan mm-hmm. approval criteria.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like it was a should be amended after further neighborhood contact is made. But we could do that.
Okay.
All right. So we may not need to call you back up, Mr. Goldberg.
We're not doing it today anyway.
But we are, I think, interested in making a tentative decision today and bringing it back for findings and mm-hmm. conclusions.
With a direction to Mr. Krueger to do some outreach in the interim.
Would that be a motion, Commissioner Fish?
I don't think we vote on the motion, do we?
We have to move to under item 922 to either approve or reject the hearings.
My guess is that the commissioner in charge could just direct that to happen on the interim, which is Steve. And if there is some further information, it would be brought back to us for council to decide whether we want to reopen the record or just proceed to a vote.
Right. The commission in charge of development services is concerned about the findings and as to whether we have to direct changes in the findings today versus being able to make them subsequent to any further public discussion.
I think your discussion today has indicated that there are changes to the findings that you think are appropriate. I think based on that, staff can make those changes to the neighborhood notification findings. Any discussions that need to take place during the interim can take place. And if there's a revised set of findings that needs to be brought before you in whatever period of time, we can do that at the same time as the ordinance.
Okay, thank you. And then, so the sense of the council would be that in future cases where the mitigation is not in the same neighborhood as the application site, that there would be an expectation of notification to that neighborhood too. And I know that would have been done this time if any of us had thought of it. Thank you.
Okay. So Commissioner Fritz, are you ready to make a motion on the main item itself with a direction to come back in 4 weeks with findings?
Yes, I move that we tentatively accept the hearings officer's decision with the amendments previously adopted and potentially some amendments to the findings after further consultation with the Sumner Neighborhood Association.
I'll second that.
Further discussion?
Do we need to set the date now or take
the vote? Would that be 4 weeks, or what would you suggest?
I would suggest two things, that you set a date. Well, you can vote on this motion. Then you need to set a date and time certain to continue this to. And you also ought to make clear whether the hearing record is closed at this point or not.
Okay, I'm going to that last point and thinking about it.
The
hearing is closed. The record's closed.
The
hearing's
closed.
Adopt.
The evidentiary. You want to make clarify is whether the evidentiary record is closed, except with the possibility of a limited reopener for purposes of reporting back on discussions with the neighborhood.
Closing the record simply means that we're not going to be taking supplemental testimony.
Right.
Correct.
In writing, but we have the right to reopen if we think there's an issue with respect to the findings. We want more testimony.
Correct.
Okay. So 4 weeks from today.
And Carla, what would that date be?
That is October 23rd. And how much time are we thinking?
Can we do that at 2, a time certain?
I believe we can.
I've got a 2 and a 3 on hold.
And can we check with the parties to see whether that time is acceptable? May be a no drama, in which case you don't have to be here, but if it says you have it on your calendar.
Pardon me?
What's that?
Are you asking?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, I will be just coming out of surgery a few days. The intentions are that I'll be here.
Is there a particular time crunch for you?
We in our process to get to this place, we have extended the process approximately 8 or 9 months in order to accommodate everybody. So yes, we are very tight on timing, but I don't want the our intention is to move forward with everybody's support. So.
Thank you. And Mr. Kruger, did you have a comment?
I'm just curious when the next Southern Neighborhood
Association meeting is.
I'm wondering that.
Might need to approach them for a special meeting.
I don't know if they're still here and can answer that.
I think you could get a special meeting.
I think you could get a special meeting.
I think with that's what I was thinking. With 4 weeks, you could get there's enough time to give notice for a special meeting.
Okay.
So the continuation date is October 23rd at 2 o'clock. Is that correct, Carla?
I've got a 2 and a 3 already penciled in. So
what's a 2?
I have an IPR item, and I have a IGA stormwater management for an hour at 3.
If without objection, could we just bump this to 2 and drop everything down? Because this, if this is just pro forma, we don't want to have people waiting around for
hours. Yes, fine with me.
Think about a half hour for this.
Okay. Yes.
So we have an hour for now.
Just your bus, right?
Yeah. It might be 5 minutes if it isn't reopened.
Okay, correct. That's good to know. So we'll say 2 for this then on October 23rd.
Okay.
Thank you.
Ready to vote? Roll call, please.
Novick?
I'd like to say that, I mean, I appreciate the Sumner Neighborhood Association's concern about not having been contacted formally, but I also want to say I appreciate Mr. Kruger's conversations with them recently and his commitment to following up with them. And off topic, I'd like to say how much I appreciate his labors over the past few weeks with regards to a certain house that was moving across the city. Aye.
Fritz.
I second Commissioner Novick's on that off-topic comment, and thanks to all of the staff who worked so hard to look after competing public values in that particular case and in this. And thanks to Sheila Fregoli and to Rachel and to Susan McKinney, who I think is retiring shortly and has had a lifetime of service. You've been teaching me for at least 20 years on how to do land use processes, so I appreciate all of your work on this as well as Sheila's and the staff's. And this is a complicated thing, and thanks to the Trust for Public Lands for persevering and for brokering, as you so often do. The next steps are the next steps, and we'll be having some robust conversations about that. The matter before us today is this comprehensive plan map amendment and the zoning change, and recognizing that we're setting a precedent because of this new transportation planning rule, I'm very pleased with my colleagues' appreciation of Sumner's right to be involved and with a little bit more time to do that. So I, as is often the case in land use, you work and work and work and you get to a good decision at the end. So thanks to everybody. Aye.
Fish.
So I guess I've been on this council long enough now that I was there for the original Colwood decision and now this decision. So they're sort of perfect bookends. And I was on the council that unanimously upheld the hearing officer's recommendations not to change the open use designation to something else because of the balancing test that we have to go through. And now, 4 or 5 years later, I'm on a council that, having a chance to revisit this question under a different proposal, has reached a different conclusion, which is to proceed with this proposal. And I am cheered because in our first vote years ago, our concern was protecting open space in an underserved area. And years later, we have a chance to once again protect open space in an underserved area, but with a model that allows it to be financed. So I think it's a happy day. It's also somewhat rare in these proceedings to have so many people come forward and testify as they have today in enthusiastic support for this opportunity. I want to thank the Trust for Public Land for once again being the critical partner that makes this happen. And probably one of the proudest moments of my public service was the acquisition of the Riverview Cemetery, which at the time the Oregon Editorial Board, a different editorial board, declared was one of the great legacy achievements of this council and predicted that none of us, it would be difficult for any of us to have an achievement that rivaled that acquisition. And, of course, that was another thing that Olmsted had seen 100 years ago and had given us the blueprint. I'm actually glad that Bob Salinger mentioned Olmsted today. I'm getting, having Olmsted withdrawal symptoms recently, because used to be between either Mike or Bob, we got it about once a week. I that may be the first reference to Olmsted this calendar year. But thank you, Don, and your whole team for an incredible perseverance in moving this deal forward and in your vision of providing significant public benefit. And this will be a great win for the Cully neighborhood. And I made some notes during the testimony, and I love the person who coined the phrase, this is the right balance for Portland. And I'm persuaded it is, and persuaded that we're on the right track. And my hope is down the road, what we have is a green space that serves the community, is of the community, and provides opportunity for the community. And a development on the other side of the slough that provides jobs and opportunities for our community, but is developed consistent with the sensitivity of that dirt. I think this is a good compromise, a healthy balance, and I'm really appreciative of everyone who worked so hard to make this day happen. Aye.
Hills.
I'm glad that at the end here we did figure out a way to make sure that Sumner's legitimate concern about anybody proposing a transportation project in your neighborhood needs to check in with you. And so we'll make sure that happens. I'm glad that's going to happen. It probably ought to also involve ODOT since it's their property as well. And that that issue, at least on track to better resolution, I want to return to the main event here, which is this proposal before us. I wasn't here for the previous head-on collision over this piece of property, but I could hear it from where I was sitting, regardless of how far away I was. And I'm not sure if the words land and use and miracle have ever been put into a sentence together before, but this is a land use miracle that you have this kind of outcome with this level of agreement. Never going to get everybody to agree. But we're very, very close to that ideal, and that two very strong needs in this community are being met at the same time. One is for more public open space and habitat, and the other is for more industrial lands. And actually, we are being instructed by both state and regional regulators that we need to find more industrial land. So here we have not only the proponent of this project and the property owner coming to a responsible solution that advances both of those goals, but we have a bunch of environmental organizations and community groups lined up to support both the jobs side and the habitat and open space side of this equation as well. So I think it is very well balanced and very well thought through. I think the level of goodwill that we see here in this room and that we've heard from formally about this new model for how to bring projects forward is likely, very likely, to see the next piece of this success story, because obviously that goodwill is wind at the back of making this work and making it work as a project as well as a land use decision. So I'm very heartened by how this has turned out. Don, well done. You and your team and Trust for Public Lands are an amazing organization, and you pulled off something wonderful here and a legacy for us all. Thank you. Aye. And we are adjourned until tomorrow.
Mr. Mayor, Ms. Dakota, Newsday described the Pine Barrens Protection Act of 1993 as a minor land use miracle.
Well, this is a major league one.
The joys
Thank you
of
all.
Google. That's funny.
See, turn off that phone during
that. Yeah, that's right. There he goes again.
For God's sake, man.